A Brisbane man who worked in the federal government's controversial robo-debt compliance agency claims he was publicly humiliated and sacked for not meeting targets. 26-year-old Brendan Donoghue is totally blind and says he wasn't provided with accessible systems, equipment and other support to work effectively. He's now lodged a disability discrimination complaint with the Australian Human Rights Commission. Brendan Donoghue joins us from the Brisbane studio this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Tell us, if you would, how you came to be working for the Department of Human Services.
So I had been out of work for a number of months and had turned to doing a lot of job searching and had found the job advertisement, which had been advertised by a recruitment company, and decided that I would actually apply for the position and put my foot forward, because I believe that my high level of customer service skills and my helping nature would be able to assist these customers in need.
You worked in two different roles during your time in the Brisbane-based branch of the department, but you were essentially in the robo-debt compliance agency. Can you explain what you did at the time that you were dismissed?
Yes. So when I was dismissed, I was doing a verbal taking of information in the area of payslips and other information from customers, and putting them onto the customer's record, and basically having to, based on that information that they provided me over the phone, would be whether they actually had a overpayment or not. So it was purely verbal based, and the customers had to give us the information or they had to call us back.
And you claim that because of the lack of support for your particular needs, your performance was slower than expected and that your name ended up on a whiteboard. Why did that happen, and what was the impact for you?
So there was several issues. It was me being slower because of the system inaccessibility issue of the department's system that they used for adherence levels. So they have a computer program which would monitor your adherence, and via pop-ups that would appear from a Canberra-based led team, which would deal with putting out these messages every day, we had to be in the right code at the right time. Now, because I was unable to read those pop-ups due to the inaccessibility of the system, that led to me basically being slower and a number of other inaccessibility issues with the system would always slow me down, me being slower than my other colleagues.
And so this whiteboard, what was the purpose of that, and your name being on it, how did that impact you?
So the whiteboard was there to essentially pull out staff that were necessarily not doing the best job, and they would be put together with staff that were doing a really good job, and you would sort of have to explain why your stats were low. And because I was a member of the team, it was just nature that I was put on this particular board.
And what? How did that make you feel as an employee?
Well, it just felt to me like it was just very sort of, they would pick particular people out that were doing very well, and sort of the people that weren't doing that well, we were sort of, I suppose, shamed into, oh, we have to work faster, we have to work better, we have to do really, 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 really better work, and we're sort of behind. And it was sort of, I believe, a shaming sort of mechanism.
And did you talk to them about this? Because I note that the Department of Human Services General Manager, Hank Yongan, has released a statement saying that naming and shaming has nothing to do with its process, and that staff names are only displayed on the whiteboard where individual team members choose to have their name displayed.
No, we got absolutely no choice in that matter. Because you were in a team, it was the expectation that every member of that team would be on that board, and we got no say as staff members in the department whether we should be on the board or not.
So are you saying that the department is incorrect in issuing that statement?
Absolutely. 100%.
The statement provided to Breakfast from the department also says that the well-being of its staff is a priority and that the department takes allegations of discrimination very seriously. Did you go to the employers or the employment agency involved to try and address any of these issues and flag this with them?
We had a number of meetings with the department and the recruitment company concerned, and they did try and assist by obviously putting me into more of a phone-based role, where my first role was more sort of having to look over printed documents, which obviously, due to my disability being totally blind and my screen reading software that I use, was unable to read those graphical documentation. So basically, I was then moved into the phone-based role. So while they tried to help and assist, they really never got to the crux of the inaccessibility of systems. And the department's policy was sort of, well, you know, this is how it is, and, you know, where you just have to cope with this inaccessibility of systems, which I just think is disappointing.
You, as I understand it, have decided to speak out now because you became concerned about the welfare recipient's experience with RoboDebt and the broader situation. Was that a factor in your experience of it as well?
Absolutely. So there were a number of times where I got calls from people who were just absolutely upset. They had no idea why they were getting these calls, and we really didn't have information ourselves as compliance officers, so we sort of had to ask. It was like asking 20 questions. So you'd get the customer on the phone and you'd have to ask them all these questions because you know, the former person that spoke to them didn't leave a note on the file, or there was a misunderstanding from the last person that spoke to them. So it was really, really difficult, I think, for them to really understand what the department was actually wanting from them. And I think it was really challenging because the department would also not necessarily take any care about who they were calling. So I got a number of people with severe disability or people who were deaf who, you know, had no idea what was going on. So there was no sort of quality control.
I suppose this RoboDebt recovery system and process has been a big story for quite some time. In your experience of working in it, was the focus supposed to be on helping these individuals who found themselves with the debt notices, or was the focus on meeting the targets internally?
I personally think it was more about meeting the targets internally, and it was all about, you know, these customers have done something wrong, so they need to, you know, repay back this money, or they need to tell the department why, and we need to sort of meet these targets. So I was given a target of 10 calls a day, and if I didn't meet that target, basically the department deemed me not to be good enough. And if I got above the 10 calls a day, I was looked upon as a really good, productive employee.
And in terms of completing the calls, what did that involve? You actually got the money back?
Basically, completing the call would be the customer having all of the earnings there, us putting the earnings into the system, and us then telling the customer the outcome, whether there was an overpayment or not, then led to the issue of obviously sending them out the letter and then formally giving them a letter which said that they had an overpayment. And then the customers, obviously, whether they lodged an appeal or whether the customers just paid for it. But basically the call, first part of the call would be to make sure we got all the earnings, uploaded it onto the customer's file. And if the customer could not or did not have the relevant information, they had to call us back and then they had to start their whole journey again through the department. So one of the difficult things for me that I found, which was a big frustration for customers, was they had to remain on the phone at all times throughout the entire process. So if they had all the information, we couldn't just jot down that information, let them go and sort of upload the information and send them the letter later. They had to remain on the phone while we did all that, and that could take us a significant amount of time, and we're talking an hour to possibly 2 hours.
They've been off the record accounts provided in various media outlets from former workers alleging that they take shortcuts to meet targets, things like not making phone calls or not letting them ring long enough to be answered. The department strongly rejects a lot of those allegations. What was your experience? Did that sort of thing happen?
So I believe that if there were that sort of cross-cutting, as you would, it wasn't sort of talked about. So if those people did that, it wasn't publicly known in the department, and I certainly didn't did any of those measures. I did try and keep to the process as much as I could, but my main problem was it took me longer to do things, and with the whole adherence thing of not being able to read those pop-ups from the particular program that I had to use for the adherence just led me to be further and further behind, and ultimately led to me not being able to meet those particular numbers that the department was wanting.
And briefly, Brendan, I know you are taking this to the Australian Human Rights Commission. Do you believe it was discrimination?
I believe it was discrimination, and I do believe that the department, as the employment disability rate has fallen to under 3.6% in the Australian public service from 6.6%, I do believe that the department really needs to look at their recruitment and policies and really start inducting, because I have received calls from a number of my community who have had very similar circumstances to my particular case. And I do believe that the department has a long way to go. In particularly, I would like to mention that the department does have an accessibility team, but they're located in Perth. So one of the difficulties we have for me being in Brisbane was there was often not support available to me.
Well, there's a time difference.
Big time differences.
All right.
And if there was any sort of issue, then I couldn't necessarily get any support for a long period of time, which would make me a very unproductive employee.
Brendan Donoghue, we appreciate you being brave enough to talk about this publicly. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time.
Brendan Donoghue speaking there. And obviously, we've put the full statements from ADECO and Centrelink on our website.